Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings, and welcome to another episode of Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and today I've got a really interesting show. We're going to be talking to James Woods, who is a painter, caricature artist, who works down in New Orleans in Jackson Square. So I just want to get started and let you guys find out all about him. He's a really cool guy, and his work is amazing. So, hey, James, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
James, how are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And thanks for taking the time off your day to come and talk to me for a little bit about your stuff.
I appreciate the offer.
So let's just jump right in, because I got a lot of questions for you.
Okay.
So let's start at the beginning. How long have you been painting?
I've been painting, I've been drawing since my mom discovered my talent at the age of two. And I started painting right around 10 or 11. They put me into this art instruction school that premiered on an infomercial, and they locked me into like a mini college at home course. And that's how I started getting interested in painting and discovered, oh, wow, I can paint.
I'll tell you, it's not easy, man. You either have it or you don't. I don't, sadly.
Yeah.
So how did you get into painting animal portraits?
Well, I work in Jackson Square, and the demands of art is pretty high out there, and there's a lot of copycat artists out there that like to copy off of each other's work to try to sell. Once you see another artist making really well, selling their art, they really figure they can go out and copy off of you. So I decided, I got tired of people copying off of me and changed up my art and trying to see what was not selling out there and brought that to the square. And I didn't see anybody doing any pets. I said, well, I'm going to give that a shot. So I started doing that, doing the pets, and it's been taking off for about 4.5 years now.
That's so cool. It's a great idea, too. And, I mean, we met in Jackson Square. I was down in New Orleans for a wedding, and I was staying in the French Quarter. And was just kind of walking around one afternoon that was free and ran into you. And that's how, you know, we got to get this whole interview organized. But, yeah, I noticed that, too, in Jackson Square, that a lot of the art is very similar. Some pieces are really similar to other pieces, you know. But your stuff is really just totally unique. And it's really charming, too. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate the compliment.
Yeah, it's like a lot of animal portraits people just don't really get like the spirit of the animal or the energy of the animal. And yours, you really get a feeling of, you know, a little bit of the personality of that pet that you've worked on. So I think that's really cool. It's not easy.
Yeah, and the fun part about that, when people look at my work, they see the personality of the pet. And I hear a lot of compliments of my customers telling me, man, you got the compliment, you got the personality perfect.
That's cool.
I mean, that's just how he is, or that's how she is, and that's how they look. And I can't believe how perfect they look.
That's amazing. And that's no mean feat, as you know. I mean, my God, doing people portraits is hard enough, and then doing animal portraits and trying to get the personality in, I mean, that takes a special skill.
I agree. And, you know, the artists out there that see me perform live, they sit there and they're like, in awe. They say, James, how do you do that? And I'm like, well, I see it and I paint it. I don't know how to, you know, justify how I do it other than if I see it, I can paint it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what's your favorite medium to use?
Acrylics. I use acrylics. I've actually dabbled in oils in the beginning, but that takes way too long to dry.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it's messy, and I decided to go with acrylics because the time is much quicker for the tourism that I deal with in the square.
So are most of your clients tourists that are down there?
Sorry, repeat that again?
Are most of your customers tourists?
Oh, yes. Like 90, I'd say about 98% are tourists.
Wow.
About 2% are locals. Wow. I mean, I meet people every day that are different.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have, you know, repeat customers that are tourists and that are locals as well.
Mm-hmm. And, like, how many people do you think, like, a typical day in Jackson Square, because it's crowded and it's busy. I mean, how many hours are you normally there a day?
It varies. Every day is not consistent like the day before.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be days where I can do two or three, or it could be days that I can do about six or seven.
Wow.
As much as 10.
Wow.
Yeah, it could be days I haven't done any at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, as much as I would love to do the 10 or 20 a day, my arm does get sore.
Yeah, seriously, man. I can't even imagine.
And I work out, too, so holding a paintbrush is a lot different than lifting the curling weights.
Yeah, but it's still pretty intense after a period of time, you know? So let's say, all right, I'm a tourist. I come down. I see your work. You know, this is amazing. I want you to paint my dog, but I don't have my dog here with me. Is this a problem?
Well, it is a problem because, for one, dogs normally don't keep still. Mm. And secondly, I'm actually allergic to dogs.
That's funny.
So, I mean, I love them the bits and pieces, but I start sneezing and can't breathe sometimes. It depends on the animal, the dander and the coat.
Yeah, yeah.
I usually have to emphasize, I don't need your pet, because they'll pass by and see my dogs. Oh, my God, we got to bring little Lizzie or Coco. And I'm like, no. What do I got to do? When can I try to make an appointment? And for one, they don't read.
True.
So I have it posted saying, you know, please do not bring your pets. Mm-hmm. I repeat, do not bring your pets. Yeah, I would take a photograph. They text or email me a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I just start from there, from my cellular phone or my tablet.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then for your typical, I know you do three different sizes, but for, like, let's say the small canvas, how long does that normally take you to paint?
Roughly it takes me about 45 minutes to an hour for, like, anything. It really don't matter the size. I've done it between, like, a 11 by 14 or 24 by 30,
mm-hmm.
about an hour. And some dogs have a lot of detail I like to capture.
Yeah.
So sometimes it takes a little longer, you know. So I have a rule where I used to be, an hour is done and come back and get it. But I've caught myself in trouble a few times where I've had an hour worth of taking orders and the person that came that hour ago expecting their artwork to be completed, and I had to get my excuse of, well, I was taking orders, I apologize, but you told me an hour.
Yeah,
I did. So now I changed it from an hour to 2 to 3 hours, so it kind of gave me a little bit of wiggle room to get the orders out the way.
That's cool. And, like, when we met, it was just you. So you don't have an assistant with you. You don't have, you know, and you're talking to everybody. I mean, we spoke. You were painting, but we spoke for probably a good 20 minutes, half hour. And
right.
I'm sure that everyone talks to you because everyone loves animals and, you know, what you're doing and you're in the square. So, I mean, do you find it hard to concentrate on your work when you've got people talking to you the whole time?
Not at all. I found patience way early in my life, you know, when I was a child. I guess I was born with it because I've always been patient to deal with multitasking, talking to people and painting and drawing. You know, I have met some artists like, don't talk to me, I'm trying to concentrate. Yeah. I'm like, okay, but I don't understand, you know. But I do not like to really reveal, like, when I'm drawing a caricature, drawing, I don't like to reveal my work to, if I'm doing a couple setting, I don't like to reveal my work to one customer and then the other one can't see it. I like to show them both. But it's different when I do the pet paintings because I'm out in the open. I want people to see me doing it.
Yeah.
And it's not a person, so I have to worry about them, you know, criticizing me about why you made my nose that big or, you know.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Right.
So do you have people saying that about their pets?
Say that again?
Do you have people that are like, you made my dog's nose too big?
Well, I've had maybe one or two over the years.
Okay.
But It's not consistent that I get that kind of critique, but I try to focus and do a good job so I won't have to redo it, you know, twice. I was taught at an early age as well, you know, that's like my father was he used to chop trees down in the woods, and I would go out and help him load up the wood barrel, and if I didn't put it in the correct pile and the way it should be stacked, I had to restack the entire pile. And he told me, if you do it right the first time, you won't have to do it the second time. So I kind of apply that to my daily life and my art. So.
And, I mean, honestly, if you're making 100% of the people happy all the time, you're doing something wrong as an artist. You know, you got to have one or two that are like, oh, no. It's just the way it goes. You know that, you know?
Yeah, and then I got the wrestling within my own self. Oh, my God, I hope they like this. And I'm not really sure if this is going to go over well with my customer or not. Mm-hmm. And they love it. And to my surprise, oh, this is great. I'm like, it's, you know, my job is really stressing when you really, I mean, most people don't think so, but, you know, because I'm always trying to please people.
Some
people are easy to please.
It's true. And especially, I mean, you know, people with their babies and their pets get really, really, there are certain things that fly and there's stuff that doesn't, you know? So I can imagine that what you do is hard because it looks, you know, idyllic. Like when I was walking along and saw you painting, it was like this beautiful day and, you know, you've got all your paints out and you're painting this great little dog and everything's awesome. But yeah, I lived in Key West, so I've worked with tourists on that scale. And after a while, it's like, I just need to do my work. You know, it gets hard after a while.
Yeah, it does.
So what's the most unusual animal that you've painted so far?
They call them ugly dolls, like, but their actual name is the Chinese crest.
Yeah.
And the cat, the sphinx, I think that's how you pronounce it, sphinx
or
whatever.
Oh, the bald
but
cats?
They're hairless dogs and cats, and they're, you know how they say they're so ugly that they're cute?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much, I find myself finding some, you know, painting something so unique. But I always get the question, people always ask me, can you paint this like that? Or, you know, have you ever painted this kind of dog before? And I try to be nice and tell them, look, I paint what I see, and if whatever pose you want it, I can do it.
Totally.
But what about this? What about that? And I'm trying to be patient. I can do it. Are you sure? But you've never done it before. How do you know if you can do it? I'm like, well, look around you. I've never done an English bulldog until I did it, and look.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? Especially with their pets. It's like, I don't know. You know, we want someone who only paints Frenchies, you know, that kind of thing. It's really,
right.
People are funny when it comes to that kind of stuff. All right, well, James, hang on the line. I got to take a minute and a half break for commercials, but we're talking to James Wood all about his paintings in New Orleans, and we'll be back in about a minute, 2 minutes.
Hello out there. It's Steve Jenkins. I'm with Fairway Markets. White Leghorn, Red Wattle, Bourbon Red, Navajo Churro. Well, these aren't names you're likely to hear at a Fairway butcher counter or any other counter today, but before the rise of factory farming, you would have. And at Heritage Foods USA, you still do. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. You see, we believe the best way to help a family farmer is to buy from them. And Heritage Foods is honored to represent a network of family farmers and artisanal producers whose work presents an immeasurable gift to our food system and to biodiversity. The meat we celebrate, whether it's heritage turkey, Japanese steaks, Berkshire pork, or Navajo churro lamb chops, is the righteous kind from healthy animals of sound genetics that have been treated humanely and allowed to pursue their natural instincts. It's a simple fact. Animals raised according to this philosophy taste better. And as we like to say, you have to eat them to save them. Visit us at heritagefoodsusa.com for more information.
You still paying attention? Are you there? Hello, 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 hello. I'm talking to you. Hi. Hey, this is Jack Inslee. I'm the executive producer here at Heritage Radio Network. I've been here at the station since 2009, and I cannot believe just how much this network has grown over that time. We've been able to grow because of donations from people like you. So if you're enjoying this, if you laughed, if you learned something, contribute anything. $1, $2, $10, $100, $1,000, anything counts. And trust me, we'll appreciate seeing your name come through on the donations. So consider visiting heritageradionetwork.org, click on that little beating heart, the donate button, and show us you care. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
So we are back. I'm talking to James Woods. He's a painter who works down in Jackson Square in the French Quarter in New Orleans, who does animal portraits. So, James, how long have you been painting in Jackson Square, actually?
I started right after Katrina, the hurricane. The hurricane came through about August. I actually came that following month, and just to test to see what was going on. There was actually people still coming in town to see the devastation that happened there in the city, and that was my first venture to go see, because I heard that there was a call for artists, and a lot of them had got, that died in the storm.
Wow.
Because they didn't leave. And so I went out there and gave it a shot, just set up and do caricatures. Didn't know anything, didn't know I had to have a license or a permit, but I just went out there and talked to a few of the psychic people that were set up in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Tarot card readers, and they told me to set up there and just do your thing. And sure enough, people came looking for, and I was the only artist. I looked around the entire fence, and I was the only artist for about a month. About 3-4 months.
Wow.
And but I'm glad I was, because I mean it set me free from the daily routine of getting up, going to a 9-to-5 job, and decided, you know what, I'm going to do this thing full time. I mean, I made my first day I went out there, made $500.
Wow.
And in the circle world where I was working at, I was making about that every 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did that in a day. So I was like, okay, I think I can do this. And it's been great since.
That's really wonderful. So are you from New Orleans?
I'm not. I live outside of New Orleans, the next state over, which is Mississippi. So I drive there and have been driving there for the last 10 years now.
Wow.
So going on 11 years.
Wow.
And I drive there and drive back. So it's about, 50 miles from here to there. So roughly about an hour to 45 minutes.
Okay. So that's not too bad.
Yeah. So it's like if you lived in a big city, and you had to go out an hour away to... If you lived in the suburbs and you had to go out to the city, it takes you about an hour
commute
time to get there. because you got a good job. So that's the way I look at it.
Totally.
You know, yeah.
And you get to work outside. I mean, that's huge.
Yep. But yeah, the only sad part about it is that the smoking and the cigar smells, people walking around and they just blowing the smoke, and this artist is smoking. I had to sit up next to him and yelling at stuff. I've learned that I'm actually allergic to cigarette smoke. That's the only unpleasant thing about working out there.
So, yeah, and everybody smokes down there.
Walk away.
Yeah. Because that's something I did notice down there is that everybody smokes.
Yeah. And it's sad. Like, I'm trying to ask a fellow artist, hey, can you, and I take my daughter to work with me, and she's six.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Daddy, the cigarette smoke. And I'll ask them, can you please don't smoke right there? Can you, smoke? And they're chain smoking. It's like, as soon as they light that, put that one out, they light another one up. And the wind all day seems to be blowing my direction, no matter where I set up.
Ugh. So how many portraits do you think you've done so far since you started?
Ooh. Let's see. Probably about, I want to say, just off the top of my head, because I haven't really did a count, probably a couple of thousand.
Wow.
Yeah, a couple of thousand. It'd probably be a little more, but I'm comfortable saying a couple of thousand. I mean, people really love their pet.
They do.
And I tapped into something that I wish I would have did when I was 21, right out of art school. So.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Right.
And so what do you love about your work?
I'm getting excited just trying to tell you the answer. if someone can identify with having a child, of course I'm a male, but the female having a child, and you're the father, seeing your child come out of your wife, and seeing its first life, and your daughter or son taking their first breath. In my case, my daughter taking her first breath, and it's like, oh my God, there she is. That feeling is overwhelming and just like joy. It's, I can't even describe it in words. It's just an overwhelming feeling of joy, if I could put it in words. And so when I paint people pets, and they come and they see my work after it's done, and they come and see it in person, I send them a text of the picture of the painting I've done,
mm-hmm.
Then they come back and say, oh my God. Some of them cry.
Oh.
Some of them like, oh my God, that's my bookie. And then it's got a tear. And sometimes the tears are so overwhelming, I get emotional along with them because each person has a story to tell about their pet, whether they lost it or whether it was a childhood pet. It's a story that is just pretty much, I like to say, it ministers to my heart,
Yeah.
And it brings me great joy that I'm not only making people, I'm not only making people happy, but I'm touching their lives, because you never know, they might be sad or upset. They may have gotten an argument with their spouse or their loved ones, and here I come along, they see their pet being, created and remembered, and then it's like, that's all they can think about now, and it overpowers the thoughts they had before or the situation they had to endure, and it's just a touching, I say a touching healing experience, It's like I heal people's hearts just by, if they're lost.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. So
that's so, yeah, what a great gift that you give people.
I remember you mentioning that, you heal people through food. So it's like, I'm like, man, I guess I can say I can heal people's hearts.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No more anxiety for a time. And then when they look at the picture, and I hear it all the time, they come back and they say, man, I look at that painting on the wall and I smile every single time.
So
it's a permanent joy that I'm in their house with them,
James, you're doing something right, man. You really are. Oh, my Lord. So do you have a favorite model or a favorite story from when you've been out doing this?
Say that again?
Do you have either a favorite animal model that you painted or a favorite story?
Yes. My favorite are the English Bulldogs.
Mm.
You know, I just love the wrinkles and the folds that they have, and their wide mouths, and their some of them have droopy tongues, and some of them have really massive tongues, and the way their jaws just stick out with their teeth. There's something about that I just love. And I have it appears to be that my English Bulldogs happen to be my top sellers over any other dog I ever painted.
How funny.
Yeah. Yep. And it's quite amazing. And so I said, okay, I guess I'm doing this right then.
Totally.
And people walk up all the time. Is that your dog? Is that your dog? I'm like, no, it's not. And just the other day, this past Saturday, this lady walked up to me and she seen my artwork and she was just stunned about it. She was just standing there like, oh. And she happened to be a person that raises bulldogs.
Oh, yeah.
And that one, a breeder, that's the word.
Mm-hmm.
She's a breeder and she wound up inviting me to like her page, and she's going to like my page and share it. She took a bunch of pictures and shared it on her page.
Oh, cool.
And she has like over 10,000 likes on her page.
Holy cow.
You know? Yeah, and I'm like, okay, compared to my little 800, I'm like, well, that's great. That's awesome.
You better start painting a ton of English Bulldogs real quick.
right? So... And it's an English Bulldog, so I'm like, yes, do it, let's do it. She said, now we got to get you one. And
I'm
to the point where I didn't even tell her that I was allergic to the dog. I was just enjoying the conversation.
You can't, though. Like, you totally can't, because if you do, it's kind of like, you know, it's really disheartening. It's like, you know, I work with dogs and cats, but I only have cats. And when people hear I don't have a dog, a lot of times it's like, dun, 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 you know, and you're like, no, it's okay, it's okay.
Yep. I guess that's why I didn't want to spoil the moment.
Exactly. That can be like your dirty little secret is that you don't have any pets because you're allergic to them, you know?
Right. I think I can manage living with them because I have growing up. You know, taking like Benadryl or something to help me on a daily basis. But I mean, I love them. I just love them. I love dogs.
Well, I love that with doing what you're doing, you can interact with them. You know.
Yeah, I'm not allergic to cats, though.
Well, don't say this. You're gonna wind up with 25 cats on your doorstep. You know this, James. You gotta be careful with this.
Well, I do have feral cats in the backyard, so
there you go.
I occasionally feed them.
So, unfortunately, we're running out of time. But before we go, how can people find you? What's your website? Where are you on Facebook? Tell us all that good stuff.
I do have a Facebook page and a website. It's facebook.com with no spaces hyphen get your pet done.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's get your pet done. So it's like GETYOURPETDONE. Or if you want to go to the website, it's www.getyourpetdone.com.
Perfect.
There's no spaces again.
Cool. And there's a bunch of samples of his work. And James is a wonderful guy. I mean, we met in New Orleans. We talked for 20 minutes. It was like, James, I need you on my show. So, you know, if anybody's interested in this, please contact James for a portrait. And if you do, if you've heard about him through this show, please let him know, because I would love to know if we can hook you up with anybody up north here or anywhere, you know.
That would be phenomenal.
I think it'd be great. I think it'd be really great. And I'm only bummed that I didn't have you do my cats when I was there, but maybe I'll send you a photograph and we can go from there in the future.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
That'd be great. So, James, thank you again so much for taking time. If you are going to New Orleans and you want to meet Mr. Woods, you need to go to Jackson Square in the French Quarter. He's normally there. And if you see him, please send him my love. And, James, like I said, thanks again, and hopefully I'll be seeing you again one of these days.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, I had a blast. This was great. I want to come give you a big hug and visit you again.
I know, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Have a great evening.
Thanks, babe. You too. And we'll talk to you soon. And for everybody else, thanks again for listening to the show. I'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, just take care and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.